Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jeremy Conrad Norris here with you. Rob Long's off today and tomorrow. I'm actually off tomorrow as I'll be having butt stuff done. I'm getting a colonoscopy. But other than that, Ed, you and I today, you and Cordell tomorrow, I believe. What are your thoughts on this Nick Sirianni situation with Saquon Barkley? It's unique that you come down to the end of the year and you have a chance, as Ed's headset just broke on him. That's great. But you have a chance now to break a record that's somewhat historic.
Yeah.
Granted, you'd be doing it in an extra game, but he's also got to this point in less carries than what Eric Dickerson was averaging. And I was telling you, the oddity of this is that he could end up just shoving it up his former team's rear end by breaking the record against them, which I think is so interesting. I'll give you my point of view on this. If you sit him, it's absolutely 100% the right decision. But I'm a little selfish, and I kind of want to see history.
I do, too.
I want to see it, mm-hmm. but I get it. And that's the part where I'm torn, because I feel like I'm doing my, I don't care either way. Like, I would really like to see Saquon Barkley play and have a chance at this, but it doesn't sound like
he's going to. The problem is, he's not 20 yards away, he's 100 yards away. So he's got to have a good day to break the record. Not that he couldn't easily do this.
I think he could run backwards against the Giants.
So do I. That's why, you know, I say that. I think he'd easily break the record. The problem is, you know, it's a team game. We talk about, we don't care if Lamar gets the MVP again, just win a Super Bowl. It's got to be the same thing for the Eagles. Like, who's your best player?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? You know, so I get it. He's not happy about it, but he's, you know, he's respecting the team's decision. I'm not happy about it because it's like you. I'd like to see history. I'd like to see him have a 130-yard day and just blow it up.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from some Eagles fans on this as well. Like, do you want to see him go for the history, or is it more – like, there is a bigger task at hand, right? Saquon Barkley, I'm sure in his heart of hearts, being a running back his whole life, like, having the all-time rushing record in a single season, it's like – that's such a great individual achievement.
Goodness. Yeah.
And I don't even like saying individual achievement, because obviously he's talked about his offensive line glowing. Mm-hmm. And he should. But the fact is, like, you know, you might say for an individual accolade, but we all played sports to try to win a championship at whatever level. Maybe you just enjoyed it and you were along for the ride. I knew some kids that just liked to be at the party, didn't necessarily want to throw it, didn't want to be the star of the party, mm-hmm. just wanted to see it. But when you get a player that's special like Saquon Barkley, I'm sure he wants both. And the sad part is there's no guarantee that if you sit him this week that you win the Super Bowl. And I would sit here and say to you, if you play him this week, I think there's an absolute guarantee that he gets to that record.
I do too.
And it's something to hang your hat on at the end of the season. But you know how it goes. Mm-hmm. He plays him, they lose. Oh, he shouldn't have played him. He doesn't play him, they lose. Why didn't he play him? He came out flat. You can't win as a coach. The dumbest thing I've ever said, unless you win.
Yes. I just wanted to bring it back for a second. Mm-hmm. Did you see what Joe Burrow bought his offensive line? Because usually they buy them watches to say thank you.
Yeah, so there were a couple guys that went crazy.
Burrow's gifts to me are the best, because I'm into this big
time.
He's
a big fashion guy.
No, he bought them samurai swords.
Samurai swords?
Yes, he bought them katanas. Those things are between $10,000 and $25,000 each, the authentic ones. They're way more expensive than buying them a Rolex.
Oh, Russell Wilson was the guy that went, like, ridiculous for his offensive line, right? Didn't he just, off the charts, like, I think he dropped, like, $100,000+ on each
Burrow,
of these guys.
Burrow's offensive lineman wanted guns, and he didn't feel comfortable buying them guns.
So now they can protect their homes with the samurai swords?
I guess. Here and we are. Some Steelers players that just saw it on Hard Knocks, they got flamethrowers.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Flamethrowers.
That's nice.
Never. Like the one that Elon Musk made and sold on Amazon.
But I think Russell Wilson went out of his way and got him a ton of stuff. There was somebody that got his offensive lineman, what was it, Wagyu? Got him a ton of, like, meat. It's just, well, anyway, look, when you got that type of money, those guys at the end of the year, offensive linemen never get thanked. So I'm sorry, you can't buy them enough stuff for
this
them.
Is pretty traditional, though. Yeah. They thank their offensive lines with gifts like watches and stuff. And now it's swords and whatever it may be.
God, which team was it? There was an offensive lineman that was talking about, Is he on Notre Dame? Now I can't remember. It sucks. But the story was they were asking him about playing his position and being able to slow down defensive ends and pass rushers. He goes, it's weird because if that guy gets a sack off of, every game off of the offensive lineman, that guy's going to be drafted in the top 10. If I give up one sack a game, they're not even going to look at me. If I give up five, they're not even going to pay attention to me. So, you almost have to be perfect at the collegiate level or show some different things on tape that they come and get you. But I just thought it was something interesting. And again, with Nick Sirianni, I'm not sure what the right move's going to be. I would personally play him, but that's just me. Let's grab a phone call here. Let's get Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Happy Friday, babe.
Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah, babe. Excuse me?
Yeah. Take three.
Will the Ravens' offensive line be able to contain Myles Garrett and the Browns' pass rush? And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Antonio. I say yes. Look, Myles Garrett's an absolute animal. You're probably going to send some help his way, whether it's a tight end, a running back chipping, double teaming him, and all the different things you can do. But the one thing I'd say, the easiest way to keep the pass rush at bay is to run the effing football right down their throats. And I know Cleveland's had a decent defense, and maybe you wouldn't recognize that because their offense has been so putrid that they've left them on short fields. But they've had some games where you go, they're not bad. I just think DTR is going to do the same thing where it's like, okay, here's a three and out. Here's a three and out. Guess what? I got you guys again. That's another three and out. He can't consistently push the ball downfield. And you're not going to come in and nickel and dime the Ravens all the way down with that group.
No.
Not at all. No. So, anyway. All right. We're going to talk some Orioles. Possible reunion with Jack Flaherty. How's that make you feel at 7:30? But up next, it's the World of Stupid. And we're going to get into Whitney Cummings on New Year's Eve. Told some what I thought were really funny jokes, but some people got their panties in a bunch. It's like, you can't make jokes like this.
Not about us.
We'll talk about it. We're also going to talk about an interesting North Carolina mom. She made a mistake for eye drops. I don't want to tell you what she used just yet. You're going to have to stay tuned for that. And lastly, another interesting story here as a California store's ingenious anti-theft technique leaves would-be robbers scratching their heads. I'll tell you what's happened to him and what he does every single night to make sure robbers can't get anything from his store. That's coming up next in the World of Stupid. All right, so we get a chance to start this off with some interesting stuff here. I'll start with the California store. It's an ingenious anti-theft technique that leaves would-be robbers scratching their heads. I don't know that this is an ingenious technique. Instead of locking his store up with military-grade mechanisms, Gonzalez, and let me get his first name here, Roman Gonzalez. Speedy, that's him. Roman Gonzalez clears out the store's display floor each night and moves the empty, open cash registers to the front of the store in view from the outside. So he leaves the cash register open to show you there's no money in it. So if you look in, you'll see there's nothing to steal. But some guy still drove through the front of his store, looked at the cash register and went, oh, God, there's nothing here. I'd say this much for me. And what's frustrating is you look at some of these situations and some people are like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. He shouldn't have to do that every night. I remember I told this story and whether I'm repeating it. We had a drug addict. My mom was married to a drug addict and we would have to lock up all the electronics. We'd have to put stuff in safes, anything like I got to see my mom on the weekends and anytime we were off school and some extended stay during the summer. But when I would come back, I remember going to her house and going, hey, where's my Sega? Where's my Super Nintendo or whatever? That's how long ago this was. And she's like, oh, it's in the safe. Why the hell does it have to be in the safe? It should stay hooked up to the TV. But I'm talking VCRs, DVD players, Blu-ray, anything you had that could be sold went in the trunk of the car when my mom left.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to do these things. It's just, I don't know, man. I hate that you're calling it an anti-theft device. The guy literally has to put in so much extra work every single day doing the same stuff over and over again so people don't try to break in and steal his stuff.
That's an old technique, though. It's amazing how this has come up.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a young cop on 42nd Street, when Times Square was really Times Square, all the places would take their registers and open, just leave them out. to show there's nothing here unless you want to steal the cat.
Yeah.
The cat used to sleep on the grill at the steak place.
Don't get Cats. I just don't understand it. But, okay. All right. So let's get to this one. I am pro comedian everything. Like, I think the old George Carlin thing that said, you can make funny out of everything. And somebody said, well, that's not true. Rape's not funny. And he goes, what if Porky Pig raped Elmer Fudd? You're going to tell me you wouldn't laugh? And and again, I understand the premise of it. But like, he was trying to make the point that you can try to make anything funny. The question is it funny or is it offensive to you? Or is it both? Is it funny and offensive, which those two things can be true?
I got to ask, when he finishes, does he say that's all, folks?
I think so. It takes him a while. It actually takes him longer to say that than it does for him to finish. All right. So Whitney Cummings was on New Year's Eve with, was she one with Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper? Get him drunk and listen to his laugh. It's hilarious. So with this... She made a couple of jokes about the Democratic Party, and then people get their panties in a bunch. Here's what she said.
2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body upright. Are we still rolling? Am I off?
Go for it.
It was amazing that the pro-choice party didn't give their voters one when it came to the presidential candidate. Kamala was forced on us so hard, you'd think she was patented by Pfizer or Moderna, whichever one's, oh God. Andy just gave me a very scary look.
No!
Yeah, they were ready to cut her off.
Really?
Yeah. And so here's the interesting thing. So with this, she was on New Year's Eve Live. That was Tuesday night with Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, as we brought up. She mocked the network's ratings. The comedian wasted no time with jokes about all kinds of stuff. New Year's Eve Live co-host Kathy Griffin, who was dropped by the network in 2017. After she posed for a publicity photo of her holding up an effigy of Donald Trump's severed head.
Yeah.
Was that Thunder Cummings asked as she joined the co-host in New York City's Times Square? Are you sure? I thought it was Kathy Griffin screaming at you from the street. Are you sure? I think she's cursing. And again, like, look, I'm not saying you got to find everything funny, but stop trying to act like that's offensive. Like, did you get to choose who you wanted to be president after?
No,
you didn't.
No.
You know, like, and she's... At the end of his, like, I hear people talking about Joe Biden now. Like, we know what he is now. There's not much there.
Hasn't been.
So, yeah. And again, like, you know my political views. Like, I don't consider myself Democratic, liberal, or whatever, but I lean closer to that side.
Definitely.
You and I talk about it all the time. But I could call it, like, stop this. It was funny. What are we talking
about? This is their problem. This is where they don't get, like, stop it. Just be normal.
And these,
be able to laugh at yourself.
These stupid ass networks like CNN and Fox and all these, like, when you say anything that could be derogatory to whatever we're trying to push, whatever our network is pushing now, because it's no longer news, it's whatever suits us to tell you. And that goes for all of them. Like, I don't even know which one would be the most close to being in between and being neutral. MSNBC, but
MSNBC.
They still lean left, right?
Way left.
Okay.
They're left to CNN.
Al Jazeera? Where do they lean?
BBC, maybe?
I don't know. But that being said, too, like, she made some jokes, and now people are beating her up. And I think it's terrible. Like, I don't care who the jokes are about. I think the jokes about Trump are funny. I was just talking to you about him dancing on New Year's Eve at Mar-a-Lago. The guy looks like he's out there skiing with two other dudes, and people are like, It's just like, what are we doing? But it's funny. Anyway, get a sense of humor, people.
I can't believe they were trying to cut her off.
Yeah, she kept looking at Andy Cohen like, I'm still on, right? Because I don't want to just sit here and read off these jokes I wrote for nothing. But, all right, let's get to this last story. Have you ever made a mistake thinking something was something else and then realizing it too late? Like
when you think you're drinking water and it's vodka from the night before?
That's one. Maybe you thought you were putting sugar in your coffee and you poured salt. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are things that happen. Using the wrong medicine, like, ooh, I read that one wrong. I took too much or didn't take enough or whatever. How about this North Carolina mom? Mistakes nail glue for eye drops. Endures 2 months of hell. That's right. A woman may have to wait 2 months until she can open her eye after picking up the wrong product that led to a painful mistake. North Carolina woman accidentally picked up her nail glue instead of her eye drops. Before she realized her mistake, she squirted the glue into her eye and sealed it shut. Footage captured by the woman's daughter showed the mom laying in a hospital bed. Her eyes were covered in white goo, stop it, Ed, as she tried to blink repeatedly. Social media users were stunned what had unfolded, and it seems like it's not an uncommon issue. Not me crying for your mama. Update us. That's our mama now, as one social media person posted. I would cry for 6 straight hours. They need to stop making nail glue look like eye drops. I got nail glue in my eye, and my mom had to wash it out. We went to the emergency room, one person added. So here, let me show you the picture. It's kind of exactly what you think. She got it in one eye, and it's sealed shut. She cannot open her eyelashes.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, there's not an adhesive that you could put on there that makes that fall apart, like, sooner?
You mean a solution to dissolve that, you mean?
To put on her eyelashes, even if her eyelashes fall off. Like,
I mean, the problem is the stuff you use for that is like acetone, and it'd probably blind her. You can't do that. So I don't know what they would do.
But I'm just saying, her eyes shut, couldn't you, like, I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about brushing it with, like, a brush.
Yeah.
And having that on there and hoping that loosens up and comes out. But they say she's going to be sealed up for 2 months.
Wow.
Rhea Faggart is her name. Hold on, the woman's daughter is Rhea Faggart. She showed the mom laying in a hospital bed. Her eyes were covered in white goo. She tried to blink repeatedly. Hi, if you are here, then you've seen the viral video of my mother. She has glued her eyes shut. They set up a GoFundMe for her. For what? Her hospital bill is that much to get the glue out of her eye? You need a GoFundMe for doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Everybody wants money now. Yes. You got to tip people that don't deserve it. You didn't do anything. I'm tipping you for. And I over-tip everywhere. Yeah. You didn't do anything. You turn it around. Make sure you hit no on this before. What are we doing?
Yeah, the tipping's outrageous on everything now.
Well, I understood it during the pandemic. It's like, hey, people are, if you can help, help. You tipped everything you could. But a GoFundMe because you got glue in your eyelashes and you can't open your eyes? Anyway, that's your world of stupid. One other thing I wanted to bring up here. For the second time this season, the Bulls and Hornets tied the NBA all-time record for combined missed threes in a game with 75. They did it again!
You gotta be kidding me.
They missed 75 threes against the same team. Just twice you broke the record in 1 year, you sorry asses.
Wow.
I've been talking about this because, look, I talk about the Bulls all the time in the Daily Line because they play at the fastest pace, and we all kept going, all right, at some point this has to... It's one thing to play at the fastest pace. It's also to statistically be one of the worst defensive teams in the league. There are teams like the Pelicans who play at a slow pace, and they're still a top three worst defensive team in the league. So you get some anomalies here with it, but with the Bulls, everybody's going, I don't know that they're the fastest team, but they've been it since.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe having Josh Giddey and Lonzo Ball and some of these guys back. 75 missed threes from the best players in the world in a 48-minute game.
Maybe they shouldn't shoot threes.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's hard to believe the number. I mean, it's really hard to put it in my brain.
They've played twice this year, and they've missed 150 threes in those two games. Are you effing kidding me? I bet they would miss less if they shot it with their left hand. I mean, this is unbelievable. How does that even happen? But that's your world of stupid. All right. Got some more stuff to get to. As we mentioned, Rob's off today. I do want to get to some Memorial stuff. I know some fans, again, you don't have to feel like I feel about the Orioles. You can be upset and bitch about it and call in and tell us how you feel and air it out. And I'm not going to come after you or hang up on you, but want to hear from your thoughts on this because there were a lot of things saying that Jack Flaherty, when he was here, it wasn't good. He was coming off of an injury. Orioles made the move. There were some rumors out there, whether true, not true, that they didn't like him here and he was a bad clubhouse guy. But now they might be kicking the tires on him yet again. Looked really good last year. Is he that guy or the guy that was with the Orioles before? We talk about it. That's coming up on The Fan right here. All right, time to talk some birds. And we've been talking about Jack Flaherty. Is there a possible reunion with the Orioles and Jack Flaherty? What would it cost? Would you be interested in that? Let me start with you, Ed. You know, there were all kinds of rumors that it didn't end well with Jack Flaherty here. There were some people that said there were disagreements between he and Brandon Hyde on... I don't know if it was preparation, how long he should stay in the game, or whatever. There was some sort of disagreement. I remember this brought up, but again, we don't know how much truth there is to all this stuff. That being said, would you be okay with bringing Jack Flaherty back?
If that's true, no. That's the problem. I don't know. It's like people, his name has been, we've been talking about him for basically 2 seasons now, I guess. A season and a half.
Yeah.
As far as returning here. I mean, you look at him from the outside, like, yeah, we could use the help. But I mean, if he's in fact having trouble with the manager, Was a clubhouse problem? Then no, you don't need it.
I mean, I would rather trade for a Jose Castillo with Seattle, which I don't know how much that's going to cost. And again, it all matters what you're giving up in trades, but the Orioles need to make some trades. And I know they're not going to say, we don't have to. I get it. But you do have a logjam of players at the same position. I heard somebody say, why don't you trade Kierstead and re-sign Anthony Santander if nobody's out there kicking the tires on him? That we don't know what's been offered. And then there's a lot of times with negotiations where teams are letting two teams fight it out and see what happens. Sometimes you get caught in that and you end up losing out. You know, we saw that last year with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. They made all the teams flinch. They flinched too, held out. And then when they came back, neither one of them looked good initially. Jordan Montgomery didn't look good at all last season, and Blake Snell finally put it together.
No, and I wanted him. I thought Montgomery would be a good pickup for them.
I think Montgomery would be a good pickup this year, but you're not going to sell the fan base on that when they go look at his numbers last year, even though the year before he was amazing and won a World Series.
I mean, they picked up Sugano.
Yeah, that guy.
Never pronounce his name, Sugano. Picked him up. I don't know why in my head I was thinking
Sasaki's still out there, too.
Yeah. I thought Manaea would have been a good pickup for them. The Mets re-signed him somehow, and they kept him. So I thought he might come, but I don't know. It's just a very...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Sean Manaea, when you talk about a pitcher like that, like, he lost it and then found it again with New York. But again, are you buying high or buying... You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
There's those... And it would be the same thing with Jack Flaherty. Like, had a really good season last year, and he was on Detroit. They move him. And he continues his great season with the Dodgers. So it wasn't like expectations or anything like that. I feel the same way you do. If there was an issue in the clubhouse, don't bring that back just for the sake of bringing it back. Go kick the tires on Dylan Cease, Luis Castillo. And oh, by the way, if it's not what you want, and I know fans don't want to hear this, it's okay to go into the regular season and then make your decision of what you're going to move after that point. I'd rather have it made beforehand and know what you have. Instead of saying, okay, we got to go get this, and now you're competing with some other teams.
Think about it. It's like, you know, spring training is like in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, who's on this roster?
It's 2025. Like, it just feels effing weird to say that. You know, like, it feels like everything went by so quick, and I'm so happy to say it's 2025 because this year was just an absolute turd of a year for me. But that being said, you know, it's something, too, with the Orioles where there's still some other names that you could go out and try to see if it works out. And I don't have a problem if they bring in, like, Justin Verlander was linked to the Braves. I don't want Justin Verlander because I saw what he looked like. And, again, Max Scherzer may be getting there. I wouldn't have a problem kicking the tires on him for a year. And if it doesn't work out, all you did was waste, a few million dollars. Mm-hmm. All you did was waste a little bit of money. What happens if he turns into being a great five-inning pitcher, and then you go from there? Or let's say you find out that he's not made to be a starter. If he wants to continue his career, you throw him in the bullpen and let him gas it up for an inning each time. I mean, the one thing with Scherzer is he does give up the long ball, and going to a pitcher's park I think would help him as well. So there are names out there, but I also feel like for the Orioles, it's going to have to be on the trade market unless they want to go get one of, you know, Flaherty. Nick Pivetta is still out there, I believe. Jeff Hoffman, he's a reliever. But Scherzer's one of those guys, too, with, what did he pitch, 43 and a third innings last year? So we really don't know what he's going to look like coming into this season. And as you get older, it's not like you typically stay healthier.
What's the deal with Batista?
Felix?
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine. Supposed to be ready to
be back, right?
Yeah, at the beginning of the season. Yeah. So that's why, like, when a lot of people say they didn't do anything, they didn't get better, I totally disagree with that because you are getting your closer back. Maybe they didn't get better, but it's not like people are making it seem like they got so much like worse.
Best closer in baseball. He got hurt.
You get Eflin for a full season. I'm not even going to bring up Trevor Rogers and people don't hear about that. We don't know what this Japanese pitcher brings. The interesting thing with Sasaki, like a lot of people are going, well, if you sign this guy, maybe you can sign Sasaki. One of his prerequisites for meeting with him is that you don't bring some of your ball players to come meet him. Like the team ownership front office are the ones that come meets him, not don't pitch me with other players. Mm-hmm. So that was one of those things that he had. But he's still out there. But again, we don't know anything about the two imports. Even the guy that the Orioles got, I mean, he's won the MVP over there. But he's still an older player. And the only highlights you're really getting from him are the World Baseball Classic years ago. You know, so we don't know what we're getting. Maybe he ends up being a bullpen piece. Maybe he's a great starter. But we shall find out once the season starts. But with the Jack Flaherty stuff, I don't know that that's for me, man. I just don't feel great about it. Let's go out and take some phone calls. Gio's in Baltimore. Gio, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
My thing is, be patient, guys. I mean, to the fans out there, be patient. The season hasn't even started yet. Guys haven't swung the bat. Pitchers haven't pitched. Come on, you know, you got to give them a chance. The new ownership, you just got to give them a chance, man. Just, you know, just be patient. See what we get. The Jack Flaherty thing, I'm with you, Jeremy. I don't know about that. But just, you know, just give it a chance, you know.
Gio, appreciate the call. And look, it's so weird trying to be a realist when it comes to this stuff instead of just being totally optimistic, which everybody spins and tries to, oh, look at you. You're just a mouthpiece for the team. I have nothing to do with the team. They don't pay me anything. I've always done this. I try to call it like I see it. Maybe I don't see it the right way. Maybe you guys, and this is what I think, are just being too overly aggressive and getting in your feelings because you expected everything to go your way right off the bat. Look at the money these guys got. I don't want to pay Max Fried that type of money. I don't want to pay Corbin Burns that. I mean,
6-year deal.
Yeah. Like, again, there are other teams at the end of those contracts that'll be fine eating 30 some million dollars for a guy that can barely get you a 4.5 run ERA if you're lucky. These guys fade quickly. And that's why the only starting pitcher contract that's worked out in the past 20 years, long term deal, is the Max Scherzer one.
Yeah. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, like, most of them fail. And it's ironic when Rob brought up the fact about Albert Pujols that Sig Meidel was in St. Louis and they let him walk. And we all said, oh my God, how can you let the best player in baseball walk? And after 3 years, we went, thank God they got rid of him because he's a shell of himself now. And the Angels still got him on the
hook
for
7 years.
You're going, I can't believe it. How is he going to, is he just going to DH the rest of the time? So, and again, I'm not telling you I'm right in this aspect of it. I think doing this for so long that you get kind of numb to some of the things. And it's like, why am I going to get in my feelings right now when the offseason's not even over? And then even when the regular season starts, it's like, what? They have the opportunity to make trades. Oh, they don't do a great job at trade. You guys could sit here and say what you want. Getting Zach Eflin last year, that could have changed everything had the Orioles hit in the postseason. So,
yeah.
Let's grab another call here. Mike is in Water's Edge. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you. Happy New Year.
I'm begrudgingly going back to work today after having quite a few days off, so bear with me a minute trying to get my brain straight real quick. You know, I agree with some of the points that Jeremy's making and his callers, you know, to be patient, but this team's been in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have not won a single game. So you've got to shake up the apple cart a little bit. They've got to have some veteran leadership on this team. And I pray that they make a trade for a decent pitcher. Don't bring Flaherty back. I mean, that I don't want this team to get the reputation, and it's going back to the Angelos years of bargain basement shopping. I remember as a kid, I'm an old guy, kids either got their fancy shoe store or you got your shoes from the barrel at the supermarket. And
the shoes
in the barrel, my friend, were crappy. And
hey,
I just hope they make a trade. I agree, you got to be a little patient. I agree, you can't.
But you still want to see something, Mike, and that's the point. I appreciate the phone
call. Also, I don't agree. You can't say bargain basement shop and get a dented can. Zach Eflin was the best pitcher available. And they got him, and they had him, and it wasn't a rental. I mean, they got him. I just don't agree. And pitching didn't cause them to lose in the playoffs. It was the bats.
Yeah, and people are upset, like the whole Tyler O'Neill thing. And again, I fully expect him to get hurt because that's what he's done. And even in a season where he got hurt, he hit 33 home runs last year. What happens if for that 1 year he does stay healthy? The time that he was healthy in St. Louis, he finished in the, what was it, top 7 in MVP voting that year? That's not a guy you think about being MVP. So, but he's got a ton of power. Just let it play out before we're going to crap all over these guys. And I want to fight every single one of you SOBs that calls in or writes on social media and says, oh, Adley Rutschman sucks. You got to get rid of him. Why would you extend him? That's what just happened the last 2 months of the season. That's who he is now. You don't know if he played through an injury. What we saw his rookie year, that was out of line. Like, that's not him. This is him. It's just so funny when you talk about these things. I just feel like people just want to be negative all the time. Watch Adley come out and have arguably his best season yet. He's one of the best, if not the best catcher in baseball. And the fact that you have him, I think you guys should be excited about it. But because he had such a crappy second half of the year and we were wondering what's going on with him, that's who fans think he is now.
I just want to remind people, they lost to the Royals 1-0 and 2-1. It wasn't the pitching.
Well, that's, I like when people say they didn't win a game. It's like, would it have been better if they went 2-1 and got swept in the other one? Or two, like, a loss is a loss.
But again, everyone's focusing on pitching, and we need it. Like, you can't win without pitching. They lost 1-0 and 2-1. It wasn't the pitching. Nobody was hitting.
All right, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll get a Commissioner's Baltimore. We'll talk about what's going on at New Orleans with the Sugar Bowl and everything else. But next, we're going to get into the college football playoff recap. We'll tell you about what's coming up with Ohio State and Texas, and then what we have to look forward to today with Notre Dame and Georgia. That's all right here on The Fan. It feels so weird hearing that in college football. Going to the Final Four, which I don't know if you guys have enjoyed these playoffs. I have. People were talking all kinds of trash after the first round of the playoffs. Like, did these teams even belong? People were saying, including myself, that I didn't think Arizona State belonged just because of the conference they're in and how poor it was. But you tip your cap to them. They play their asses off. And that was even after talking some trash through the media. Cam Scatabo, of course, that was courtesy of the Texas Radio Network. But Cam Scatabo is one of those guys where he's just hard to bring down. And if you look at what he did, especially in the second half, it feels like he almost willed them to victory. But they got him to a 4th-and-8 in the, what was it, first overtime. And then they had to delay a game that made it 4th-and-13. And the Longhorns pick it up. And it just shows you, football being a game of inches, you know, you sit here and talk about one or two plays that can change a game. We could have had Arizona State playing Ohio State now, which I don't know how many people would have been happy about that, but it was a distinct possibility when you go to double overtime.
Absolutely. But that was a really exciting game.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
I mean, I talked about this with Texas, and I know, like, a lot of people aren't going to point out their offensive unit and go, oh, because when you look at Ohio State, you talk about Jeremiah Smith. Maybe you can pick any team. Oregon, you talk about Tez Walker and James, their running back, and you can look at all these premier players. Texas has those guys. It's just Quintavious and Blue split the backfield. You might see one get a little bit more carries than the other, and I would say Wisner's the guy that typically gets it. And then you start looking at their tight end, amazing, the wide receivers, goal. Like, they just have so many guys that they can go to, but there's just, it kind of reminds you of the Ravens a little bit, where you got a lot of mouths to feed, and I don't know that anybody cares who gets it as long as it gets done. You really saw Golden take off. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday, but a really, really fun game. And in the afternoon, I mean, I've been screaming about it. I told you Ohio State was going to beat them. Ohio State didn't just beat them. They beat the hell out of Oregon. Like, I don't know what Oregon did to them.
It was unbelievable.
Like, you blinked and you're going, is this really happening? Like, what's going on here? Because they could not stop mm-hmm. Jeremiah Smith, who might be the best receiver in the country. It's an embarrassment of riches. Ohio State begged Marvin Harrison Jr. to stay, offered him a ton of NIL money. In fact, all the NIL money they had. And it's like, well, he went to the NFL, so we'll just start this kid, Jeremiah Smith, who, yeah, he's the best receiver in college football, at least in my opinion. That's another one of those guys, when he gets drafted, guys, top five, if you're not taking him, I think you're an idiot.
I mean, it was 34-0 just about at the half. I mean, Oregon had a late, like, a touchdown. His time expired.
Well, yeah, they scored in the second half when Ohio State was just running out the clock, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got that spanking. Now, with the stuff that's going on with Notre Dame and Georgia, I was all over Notre Dame, and it's kind of weird, and I'm still going to be on Notre Dame today. I don't know what to think about this game. The line movement's been all over the place. Georgia's starting to back up quarterback, but as I said the other day, does it matter? Because their backup quarterback is going to be great anyway, right? We had Florida State get down to the third-string quarterback at one point, and we're going, oh, he sucks. But Georgia, they're bringing in 4- and 5-star recruits to back up their 4- and 5-star recruits. Yeah. It's just reload every year. So, but you still have Travis Etienne's brothers there as the running back. You can check him out, of course, with the Jaguars. But brother just as good, maybe even better when all said and done. And then, of course, with the other side of the ball, Notre Dame, I really feel like Riley Leonard's played his ass off. He more on the ground. It's more him and Love on the ground running the football. But we'll see how Georgia's defense, if they can slow him down. Because if Georgia can slow down Love and Leonard in the running game, it could be a long day for Notre Dame. Even though I like Notre Dame today, I do think they're the better team, as both teams are constituted today. Do you have a feel for this game, Ed? 4 o'clock game, I believe, today, you know?
Yeah, it is 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I like Notre Dame, but I never know with Notre Dame. As much as I think they're a really good team this year, sometimes it's just difficult because, I don't know. They're not an SEC team, they're not a Big Ten team. It's like...
I mean, yeah, they basically get to pick who they want to play.
Yeah, it's like...
And that's been a big issue with, I guess you could say, essentially college football, because there are a lot of people that thought it was unfair to Notre Dame what the college football playoff did, or maybe it's not unfair to them. They're trying to force them to get into a conference because they can't get a bye.
Yeah, what do you mean?
They can't be 1-4.
They've had the luxury of not having to compete for a conference championship, though, forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was that. And then, during COVID, they sneak in. You kind of get into a conference and they go, well, we're done with this.
Well, and that's the Sugar Bowl today again at 4 o'clock because of what happened in New Orleans, which we're going to get into in the next segment.
I do think it ends up being Notre Dame, Penn State, though.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas. Do you have a feel for that if that's what happens?
For the Ohio State, Texas game?
Well, if Penn State wins, they'll play Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. If Notre Dame wins, they'll play Penn State. I said it backwards. In that matchup, who do you like to get to the
Penn State?
Penn State and Texas?
I say Texas because I've been on Texas for the year, but Ohio State looked so impressive yesterday. Like, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Ordinarily, I'd say, Penn State, Texas. And maybe I'll still go with that, but boy, Ohio State looked tough yesterday.
Hold on. I got to double check this because I had one website that said Ohio State would be a 6-point dog.
Against
Texas, and then I just saw they were a 6-point favorite against Texas. I want to see which one's right, in fact, because, again, lines are coming out early now. All right, I'm going to have to go to another site just to make sure. But anyway, it should be a good game today. It's a 1-point spread, essentially. A lot of fun. There is a nightcap tonight.
Ohio State's a 6-point favorite.
Ohio State's the favorite, yeah. So, wow.
Yeah.
Texas is a 6. I'm going to be all over Texas, man. The funny thing is, like, if you think... Texas can match up with anybody defensively. It's the best defense in college football, in my opinion. So Ohio State's not going to run on them. Scary part about that is with Egbuka and of course, Jeremiah Smith, they have so many weapons in that passing game to go to. And those guys stay on the field like for 80% of the plays. There was a play yesterday where Jeremiah Smith came off on a third down after making like a huge 30-yard catch. And I'm going... I can't believe he came off the field. he had a big 30-yard catch and then like a 12-yard catch right after it or shortly after it. And that's what they had a penalty. So it was third down. I'm like, I can't believe he's not on the field right now. So again, good games. We'll get to see a lot of this stuff coming up. Two games today, only one playoff game at 4 o'clock. And unless I'm on the toilet, Ed, I'll be right in front of my TV. I don't know if I can convince my wife to let me put a toilet in the, or
I'm surprised you don't have
TV
one.
In the bathroom. Well, so when I had my first colonoscopy, the house we lived in a townhome, and we were the only townhome on that street that someone had installed a bathroom right in their living room. So when I went through, like, this little area, you can't even tell it's there. And it's nice to have, because when people are over, it's like, there's a bathroom on this floor, just go there. And so my wife got mad at me, because when I was going through my first colonoscopy, I had the remote to the TV, I tilted the TV towards the bathroom, and I was just on the crapper the entire time, letting loose and changing the channel.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I was trying to keep myself entertained.
Wow.
Outside of, all the other stuff. All right. Serious topic coming up next. We're going to talk about what's going on in New Orleans. Ed, you've been through this so many times. We have a commissious Baltimore. We're going to dive right into it in hour number two. Stay tuned. 410-583-1057 right here on The Fan.